Thank you so much. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. My wife and I are so thankful for the privilege that we've had for 5 years now to be able to be a part of Teen Extreme. Camp and VBS are two of my favorite weeks of the year. And what a great blessing it is to hang out with your young people and just to see a different side of them that perhaps a lot of us have the privilege of seeing throughout the year. So for the next 4 minutes, we're going to give you a snapshot of what our week is like. Pensacola runs a great camp. They had some new things this year. One of my favorite things that they had was axe throwing, where you take a sharp axe and you chuck it at the wall. How therapeutic. When you've not gotten any sleep and you're going all day, you go to throw an axe at the wall, and for a little extra money, they'll let you print out a picture of your favorite teenager and put it on the... No. But we're going to give you a 4.5 minute video here, snapshot. Why don't you four come on here and sit in the choir loft here, be ready to give your testimony? Yeah. But what a great week we had, and we're thankful for the Lord for the safety that He gave us. The testimony that our church had to our bus driver, we have a church member that donates so we can have a coach bus that goes and takes us, and the bus driver's name was Greg, and he was just so wowed that our bus was clean. How nice our young people are, and I texted him the day after because he had to go back up to Orlando and over to Clearwater, and I said, hey, did you get in okay? And he was just thrilled, amazed at the testimony that your young people had, and it's a testament to the parenting. And so we're going to show this video. I'm going to get out of the way, and then these young people are going to give a testimony.
Will you be mine?
Amen. So some of our young people are going to give some testimonies now. Ansley, why don't you come on up? And thank you again for praying for us. I'm thankful for the Lord that he gave us a safe trip. Come on, Ansley.
Hey, y'all. It has been another wonderful and exciting week at camp. Going to camp has always been a highlight of my summer, and we just make so many wonderful memories together. We get involved in so many different activities, games, and competitions, and as a whole, we grow closer as a youth group, and we get to hear, like, some of the best preaching. Don't worry, Papa, you're still my favorite. God truly worked in my heart and the hearts of many teens that were there this week. But first, I just want to say a shout out to all the chaperones who make this trip happen. Thank you for giving your time to be with us this week. You guys are awesome and so much fun to be around. I'm so thankful for y'all's godly influence in my life. We had the privilege to hear Mr. Kennedy Baldwin preach this year, and he is someone who truly has a passion for the Lord, and he poured his heart out to us teens. If there was one main thing I could share with you that God spoke to my heart about, it was the sermon about getting on the boat of Jesus. During his message, we studied Luke 8, verses 22 through 25, where Jesus calms the storm while his disciples are on the boat. Brother Kenny challenged us to examine our own spiritual lives. Are we fully committed to following Jesus, or are we merely passengers on a boat, hesitant to trust him completely? It was a reminder to me how easy it is for us Christians to doubt God's power when we are lukewarm. When we lose our passion for Christ, we stand on the shore when Jesus is on the boat. When Christians stand on the shore, we become one of the crowd, saying we identify with Christ, but he's at sea in our life. No one said following Jesus would be smooth sailing. We were told we would have to pick up our crosses daily. How will this world be reached if Christians are not getting on the boat with Jesus to be fishers of men? God really spoke to me about sharing my faith more and not just standing on the shore to let other people do it. When we choose to be on the boat, that means we are completely surrendered to his will through the trials and the storms, and that means we completely trust him and we choose to identify with Christ. I want to seek authenticity in my faith, to have a genuine, heartfelt devotion to Christ. I've started to invest more time in prayer and studying deeper in God's word more, allowing his truth and his wisdom to shape my thoughts and actions. I don't want my lips to just say it, I want my life to live it. And I also want to say a special thanks to my amazing youth group. Thank you for 6 unforgettable years at camp and these amazing years at church. I'm so grateful for each of you. Your friendship and faith mean so much to me, and I'm going to miss our adventures and all of you dearly when I have to leave for college. May we all strive to be on the boat and sail with Jesus, embracing a life of wholehearted devotion to our glorious Savior. Thank you.
So it was my fault that we walked in like that. Sorry. Hi, my name is Alicia Hatcher. Most of you know me, but for anybody who doesn't, that's my name. I'm really nervous, so if I look down at my notes or say a lot, that is really why. First off, I would like to say thank you to those who prayed for us and thought about us this week. We definitely needed it. They were much appreciated. Thank you for those who donated for the bus and sponsored teenagers that could, so they could go and stuff and learn God's word. Thank you for the chaperones for taking off work and coming with us crazy teenagers. We're not easy to get along with sometimes, especially when you have to wake us up. This past week was the same week dates as my first year of PCC, so the 17th through the 21st. In 2020, it was the same dates. That week, for some reason in my heart, I told myself I was not going to cry at all that week. So in some way, that means I'm not going to let the Lord speak to me at all this week. So I was so focused on not crying that I didn't let him speak to me. Thankfully, we have amazing counselors who really helped me a lot. Thursday night, we were all in our common room or living room or whatever you want to call it, and we were in a circle all singing and praising the Lord, and just it was a really sweet time. And Miss Crystal came into that circle and asked if any of us had anything we needed to get right with, the Lord with, or just want to talk to her with, or any of the counselors, that they're always there and would love to speak to any of us at any time. So something just, like, the Holy Spirit just tugged on my heart, and it's a feeling I can't explain. And I was like, I have to go get something taken care of. So I asked Miss Crystal, and she sent me to, or not she sent me, her and I went to her cabin, and she sat me down, and I told her what was wrong, and she helped me through it, and that night, I got assurance of my salvation. That was 5 years ago, Thursday. This year, I was encouraged a lot in my walk with the Lord and excited for what he has next for me. Sorry, I just read that. Thank you, Mr. Kevin and Pastor, for this opportunity to share this, and thank you, church, for listening.
Hello? This is going to be really short compared to those other ones, so. This was my fifth and final year at PCC Teen Extreme. It's so awesome for me to go back and look at the pictures from previous years and just watch our youth group grow over time. And I'm so grateful for the combined time and effort of the chaperones each year. I'm thankful for people who come and get excited with us, not just watch from the sidelines. It really makes a big difference when we get to see the adults invest in the games and activities just as much as the teens do. This year, there were a lot of things that happened in our youth group. Just like every year, decisions were made, people were blessed, and lives were changed. And even when rough things happened to a few people, it was amazing to see how they made the best out of their position and went on to make the week the best that they could. There are a lot of young people who don't really get to go do things like camp, and when they do, they don't really get excited about it. It's such a blessing how our youth group really goes all in, and being unashamed to have a passion for Christ is one of the things Pastor Kenny Baldwin spoke about, and one thing I admire about our youth group. So thanks to the youth group for giving me such an amazing time at camp each year. Thanks to the chaperones for giving it their all and making time for us. Thanks to all the boys who put in so much work and effort memorizing scripture each year. And thanks for the generosity of the church for allowing us to all go in a bus and for choosing us to go to Teen Extreme. And lives have forever been touched by the sacrifices and choices. And camp is a reminder that God is good all the time.
Well, good evening. First of all, I want to just echo the sentiments of my comrades and say thank you to everyone who provided for this week, not just financially, but also in prayers, that you all were praying for us and made camp what it is. Camp was amazing this year, and God really spoke to me a lot. I needed a lot of things this week, and I can't even begin to go into all of them. One of the things, though, I did want to speak on specifically, a year ago at Teen Extreme, God placed a burden on my heart about possibly going into full-time ministry, and I didn't really want to do it. Over the year, God has really shown me how he can actually use me there, even though I don't feel like it, and continue to place a burden on my heart. And so this year at camp, I kind of committed my life to that and said, God, I'll go, and went down and made that public. And so I'm very excited to see where God will take that. As I follow him. So again, thank you so much for providing and for doing all you guys do for us.
Just before the girls pray, again, I want to say play. Just again, thank you so much for the week that you all prayed for. And you guys ready? All right, they're going to play. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, Mark chapter number 5 is where we're going to be. Mark chapter number 5. I want to echo a message that Brother Kenny preached on Wednesday. It was an unusual service. As a matter of fact, I think I can count on one hand how many services I've been a part of that were like that service. He preached, the invitation came, and typically the invitation comes, the invitation goes. But as the invitation was closing, another person started coming down to the altar, and then another, and then another. All of a sudden, groups were coming down back to the altar. It was almost as if there was a second invitation. Sometimes you can be a part of conferences, and the preacher can belabor, and he can almost try to manufacture an invitation. That wasn't the case on Wednesday night. People just kept going forward, people getting right with God, people getting saved. It was an amazing, amazing service to be a part of. We thank the Lord for it. One of the greatest things that you can teach your young people is to experience God. There's nothing like the presence of Jesus. We can play the games, we can do the cheers, and we can do all those things, but if they go away from camp and they don't have a meeting with God, then what's the point? Why stay up late? Why get up early? Why lose your voice? Why do all those things? But we go there, we put away our cell phones, we put away all of our electronics, and we try to focus on each other, and we focus on the Lord. But the message I want to kind of go over, but I'll be in Mark chapter 5, and Brother Kenny did a great job preaching. It's amazing to me. I'm grateful that as a teenager myself, we went off to youth conference, and he was the preacher, or he was one of the preachers, and to see him be faithful in serving the Lord and preaching all these years later. I first heard him when I was 14 years old, and now I'm older. I saw the Roddens there. Michelle and Barry Jr. were there, and I was in line to get food. And Michelle Rodden came up to me. She said, "How's it going?" I said, "You know, I'm more tired this year than I ever have been. I think I might be getting sick." And she goes, "Or you might be getting old." I said, "Get out of here with that." She's not wrong. But Brother Kenny preached an amazing meetings. He preached on meeting God face to face at Peniel when Jacob wrestled with the Lord, talking about getting real with God. God knows everything about you and I. Might as well tell it to him. He preached on I Believe in Hell. He talked about the rich man and Lazarus and how hell's a real place, but Jesus died to pardon our sins. He preached on getting on the boat, which we're going to talk about tonight. He preached on holy heartburn from Luke chapter 24. It was a great week, lots of great preaching. It was a special encouragement to the workers in the workers' meeting. So thankful for him and all that the Lord has used him to do. He's a great, great blessing. One thing I do want to share is many of you know A-Rod that comes in on the van. He's got those flowing locks. We've picked him up. We went on visitation one day. Miss Ruth handed out a tract to the other angel. And he went home to his mom. "Mom, let us get on let's go on this bus." And his mom, of course, called the church and left a message in Spanish. And Jeffrey Andrews, when he was here, he kind of deciphered all that and said, "Go pick this kid up." I said, "All right." And eventually, Angel and Montserrat, who also went, they moved down to Lake Park and they moved in with A-Rod and his family. And A-Rod started coming, and sometimes his sister would start to come to church. And A-Rod came with us to camp. I was so excited. Thank you for those who gave so he had the opportunity to go. He went, and he'd never seen anything like it. Unfortunately, tonight he's not feeling well because he's not used to that much walking, I think. But Wednesday night before the service, a counselor from one of the other teams, one of the other squads, noticed him kind of sitting there. He was studying his verses. The kid hardly speaks English, and he's studying verses so he can memorize them and tell them to the counselor. The counselor sat down next to him and began to give him the gospel. And A-Rod accepted Christ as a Savior. Amen. It reminded me a lot of another familiar kid that rode the van. A-Rod's not quite as annoying as he was. But I got saved at youth conference. Somebody paid my way to go. And the Lord Jesus changed my life. And you never know what the Lord could do with somebody whose life has changed at youth conference. So thank you for that. I'm going to show one picture and then we'll get into the devotion tonight. If they can put it up on the screen. That flag there is a representative of how our kids did at Versus. They were to memorize 1 John, was it chapter 1 and chapter 2 to sign the flag? And those that are standing in the picture there, they memorized those chapters. And a lot of our kids tried. They were studying verses. They were wearing our camp counselors out with how much they wanted to study those verses. But it's always a blessing when the Word of God gets into young people and the young people get into the Word of God. And so we're thankful for that. They got to sign the flag. That is the flag that when we're doing our cheer-offs, they run up and down with. So their names are going to be on that flag all summer long. So good job, Blue Team. And we did win the week, so that's very good. So praise the Lord. Mark chapter number 4 and Mark chapter number 5, we're beginning begin reading in verse number 35 down through the end of the chapter and then into chapter 1, just the first verse. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Verse number 1 of chapter 5, And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now in my Bible, I have a line written from verse 35 of chapter 4 where it says, Let us pass over unto the other side. And I've drawn it to verse 1 of chapter 5 and it said, And they came over to the other side. Let's pray together. May we, Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for how you worked in the lives of the young people and in the chaperones, myself. Lord, you're so good to us. Help us to follow you, not just casually, but help us to follow you with passion and closely. Oh God, we don't want to be casual Christians. We want to serve you. We want to see a difference made in this world. For these teenagers, Lord God, the decisions that they've made, I pray that you'd help them to commit themselves to you, to walk with you, to seek your face, to make a difference in this world. And I pray that you bless the reading of your word, that you'd use your word, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, may your word do what I cannot do. May I be a spirit-filled preacher, preaching to spirit-filled listeners, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll have to bear with me a little bit. My throat's a little bit gone, so I'm actually going to stay at the pulpit tonight, so I'm not going to make you all seasick today, so that's a blessing. Get on the boat. In Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus had been teaching to a large crowd of people. He'd been giving parables to them. It's a heavenly story that portrays an earthly story that portrays a heavenly meeting. There was multitudes of people that were gathered around Jesus at the seashore that day. They were listening to him. They were enjoying his teaching. They were watching him. They were looking at him. They were listening intently. But eventually there came a time when he said to his disciples, Hey, let's go to the other side of the sea. Let's get on the boat. And that reminds me tonight that there are Christians, yes, we're talking about salvation. We've been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. As the teenager sang a moment ago, it's through the blood, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We talk about how he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We understand what salvation is. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It's through the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there are those who have put their faith. I'd say most of us tonight have asked Jesus to forgive us for our sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to hope so. It's not if the deacons vote so. It's not if I give enough money to the church. church. So, but Jesus said, if you place your faith and trust in him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We understand what it means to be saved. But then, how do you follow Jesus? There are those who would follow him casually, that would stay on the shore, but then there are those who would get on the boat. There are two different perspectives that we find. You have the people that stay on the seashore and they watch everything that's going on the Sea of Galilee. But then you have those that find themselves in the boat. Those are two totally different experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of followers of Christ are you and I? Are we seashore Christians or are we wanting to get on the boat? I submit that you know Jesus in a fuller way if you get on the boat with him. We're going to look at three things tonight and then we'll be done. I want you to consider, first of all, the call of the Savior. The call of the Savior, if you would please. Verse number 35 of chapter number 4, the Bible says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." Isn't it amazing that all through the scriptures in the book of Genesis all the way through, God talking to Abraham, hey, follow me. I want you to get up and I want you to go to a land that you don't know about. I want you to just trust me and you're going to step out by faith. The book of Hebrews says in chapter 11 in verse number 6, "But without faith is it impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." To follow Jesus, you must have a life of faith. It doesn't just take faith to get saved. It takes faith to follow Jesus every day. You go into the book of Exodus, and we are introduced to this man by the name of Moses, and God comes to him out of the burning fiery bush there, and he calls his name out, and he gets closer, Moses does, and God says, listen, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to go into Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And Moses, scared person, he said, I can't really talk really well and I can't do these things that you want me to do. But God reminds him there, hey, listen, I'm the one that made your mouth. I'm the one that made you. I know everything about you. Aren't you glad today that God knows everything about us and he still calls us to serve him? Praise the Lord. And Moses steps out in faith and God uses him in a great way. This, the Bible that we have, it talks about Jesus, but it also talks about how we are to live a life of faith, trusting Jesus. Don't be content to just have your fire insurance and say, I'm not going to hell. That's good enough for me. But following Jesus closely, Matthew chapter 9, we find that Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom, the Bible says. Jesus came to him. It's very simple. Follow me. The Christian life can be boiled down to two words. Follow me. Follow Christ. It's simple, but it's not always easy. So these disciples, they heard the call, hey, let's get on the boat with Jesus. It's interesting to me. They don't ask for the details. They don't ask what the buffet is going to be on the cruise ship, right? They don't ask what stateroom they have, what kind of shows. Listen, Jesus doesn't give any of the details. He just says, follow me to the other side. No details. When Jesus says it, we should just obey it. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He knows everything. Every command that he's given to us is backed by his omniscience. So these disciples, they get on the boat. And Jesus calls you to live a life that's closely following him, not just casual Christianity. Casual Christianity doesn't change the world. But those who follow Jesus closely are used in a great way by him. These disciples, they got on the boat. The call of the Savior, secondly tonight, they experienced the captain of the sea. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus is in control? Look at verse number 37 of Mark chapter 4. The Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Verse number 38, the Bible says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." I want you to think about this tonight. Following Jesus doesn't erase problems. Oftentimes, it creates more problems. Sometimes you might think, hey, if I just get saved and everything is going to be good in the hood, it's going to be fine and dandy like cotton candy, everything's going to be all right. But oftentimes, once you get saved, it creates problems in relationships. It creates problems in our jobs. It creates problems with those people we know. I remember when I trusted Christ as my Savior, my mom and my dad said, you'll get over it. They smirked at me. They laughed at me. You'll get over it. And then I told them, hey, I want to be a preacher. I wanted to go in the ministry. They laughed at me. And that's okay. You got to remember who called you onto the ship in the first place. There were problems. They were scared. They were frightened. But as the preacher said this week at camp, I'd rather be on the boat where there's a lot of problems and Jesus is there than on the seashore where there's nothing going wrong but Jesus isn't there. Pastor here preaches, we talked about Moses. Hey, I don't want to go up if you don't go with us. There might be problems, but Jesus is there. There might be difficulties, but you're walking with Jesus. You share a closeness with Him that's not known if you just are content to stand on the seashore. Yes, problems arose there on the sea, but you find that there's a presence abiding. Jesus was there. I'm so glad tonight that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. If I rise up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. Following Jesus closely means that we're living consciously in the presence of God. He's always there. Nothing's too hard for Him. In the most difficult times, that's when you get to see the Lord Jesus working. You don't see Jesus work as powerfully if you're just on the shore, but those disciples, they got a firsthand experience about the power of God. The problems arose. There was an abiding presence. There was a veiled power. Verse number 39 of chapter 4, the Bible says, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When's the last time you were wowed by the power of Jesus? These disciples got to see something that nobody else got to see because they chose to follow Him on the boat. Not casual following, not following afar off, but they were right there. Of course, they were scared. They woke Jesus up. Some people, like the preacher said this week, some of you think, well, they should have just had enough faith and trusted Jesus. And Kenny Bowen, go on with your bad self, but I'm waking them up. But they got to see the power of God. Sometimes you got to go through some dark night to see the power of God. If you think everything's just going to be easy, you're standing on the seashore, you don't get to see Jesus like those who are following Him closely. They saw Jesus work, and they're standing there. You can look at verse number 40, and He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? In other words, would you look at that? We ain't seen anybody tell the wind to be quiet, tell the waves to be calm. My wife and I try to do that in junior church. It doesn't work. But they were wild, and they were talking about it. And I love what happens next. I'm going to go to my third point here. Okay, we're talking about the call of the Savior, the captain of the sea, and then the certainty of the shore. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1, and they came over unto the other side. Aren't you glad that when Jesus says, let's go over onto the other side, you'll always get to the other side. He keeps His promises. When you're traveling with Him, you're going to arrive at your destination. These disciples arrive there at the land of the Gadarenes, and they're still wowed and amazed at all that Jesus did. They followed Him on the boat, and they're still shook about everything that Jesus did, waking up and telling the wind and waves to be calm and be quiet. They're still talking about, did you see that? I was just going to ask you, did you see that? And then all of a sudden they arrive at the other shore, and this crazy man comes up out of the tombs, and here he comes in Mark chapter 5. You can read it, but this man who had his dwelling amongst the tombs, he was helpless, he was homeless, he was hurting. He had all these things going on with him. One preacher said he was a nude dude in a rude mood. And all of a sudden this crazy man who nobody could help him. The Bible says that he was shackled up and he would pluck the shackles, like he would get out of those things and nobody could help them. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 5, but when he saw Jesus And all of a sudden, this crazy man who was not in the right mind and that had 2,000 demons, Jesus cast the demons into the pigs. They run down the hill. And now all of a sudden, this crazy man who was hopeless, who was hurting, who was homeless, all these things happening to him. He's sitting there, the Bible says, clothed and in his right mind. The disciples, they're still trying to get over what Jesus did on the Sea of Galilee. And they realize, the preacher said, he had power over the deep. But he not only has power over the deep, he has power over the devils. Wow. And that's not all. They're still shook about everything that just happened. Wow, the wind and waves, they were calm when he told them to be quiet. This crazy man running around. When Jesus cast the demons out, he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. The disciples were amazed. But you keep going in Mark chapter 5. You find out that there's this lady that has the issue of blood for 12 years. She went to every doctor that she could go to. She tried to get all the help that she could. She spent all the money that she had. A lot of Bible scholars believe that she crawled there to be there that day. She was in such pain, many believe, and all she did was touch the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was made completely whole. The disciples still trying to process everything. Wow, he made the wind and waves, peace be still. He has power over the deep. He has power over the devils when he cleansed the devil-filled man with legions. And now we find that he has power over disease. Power over the deep, power over demons, power over disease. And then there's Jairus, whose daughter is sick, and she's about to die. And Jairus goes to Jesus, "Help my daughter, she is sick and she's about to die." We find out in Mark chapter 5 that indeed she does die. And the disciples are still amazed at everything that Jesus, they go to the house there, and Jesus raises this girl from the dead. Jesus has power over the deep. Jesus has power over demons. Jesus has power over disease. And now they find out that Jesus has power over death. Who is this man? He's the God-man. When I submit to you tonight, the disciples don't get to see any of that if they don't get on the boat. You've got to get on the boat if you want to see the power of Jesus. No more casual following, but we're going to follow Jesus with passion. Jesus isn't a part of the big picture. He is the big picture. Well, my prayer for these teenagers and for our church is that we wouldn't just keep the status quo, but we would follow Jesus passionately, walk with him, love him as he loved us. You can't watch Jesus from the shore and be content with the stories, but you can get on the boat with him and really know who he is by his character. How many of you have ever flown a plane or flown in a plane before? How many of you say, "I don't like flying planes, turbulence, I don't like those things"? But think about it. If you've flown on an airline before, you get there 2 hours early, something like that. You've got your phone with your ticket and everything. And eventually I don't know if you're like me, but I make sure I go past all the food, all the Starbucks, all the things that are in my terminal to see if in fact my gate actually does exist. And then I go back and do everything else. But you get to the gate and you watch, and eventually they come on the intercom and you can't ever understand what they're saying. And they call your ticket number, whatever seating section that you go to. And you gather your belongings, you start going down the jetway. Sometimes the people in front of you walk really slowly. "Come on, let's go, man." But you come to the end of the jetway, and if you ever think about it, next time you fly a plane, there's usually a little gap between the end of the jetway and stepping onto the plane. It's just a couple inches, but there's usually that gap. You know, when you get on that airplane, it's a step of faith. Listen, most of you probably don't know how the flaps work. Most of you don't know the pilot. You don't know how the engines really, really work, all the systems. But you're trusting the pilot that he knows what he's doing, and you take a step of faith off the jetway into the plane. You're saying, if the pilot makes it, then I'm going to make it. We're going to get there. This is Christian life. We don't know everything that there is to know about God and his word. We don't know everything that is going to happen in our lives. We don't know all that God is going to do in our lives. We don't know all the good things. We don't know all the heartache. But what you're saying is when you get on the boat with Jesus, if Jesus makes it, then I'm going to make it. And guess what? We have the end of the story, and I know he makes it. As Pastor says often from the pulpit, if the Bible's not true, then nothing matters. You can do whatever you want. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the Bible is true, so nothing else matters. So if Jesus is worth following, you and I should follow him with all of our hearts. And it's a challenge tonight. Don't just follow casually. Get on the boat. That's where you really see the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. Let's get on the boat tonight. All God's people said, let's pray together. May we, Father, thank you so much for your goodness that we get to follow you. You promised your presence. Oh Lord, help us to seek after you. Help us to go hard after you, as the leper did in Luke chapter number 5, where he grabbed on to you. Lord, help us to go after you with the same passion. Help us to constrain you. Lord, we need you. Oh, there's so much more that you have for us in this Christian life if we would just go after you. Lord, I pray for these teenagers. Help them, Lord. Help them to follow hard after you, Lord, in a world that wants their hearts. I pray that they would give their hearts to you. Lord, for our church, and there's so many things. We have schedules and busyness. Lord, you're the priority. You're not part of the big picture. You are the big picture. Help us, Lord, tonight to commit ourselves to you afresh and anew. And God will thank you for it. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to have a hymn of invitation, just an instrumental. I wonder tonight, if you're here and the Lord spoke to your heart, I wonder if you'll use this altar there, your seat, as a place to do business with God. Or maybe sit there and pray for our teenagers, our young people. In this world we live, graduating seniors, 75% of graduating seniors that grew up in church after graduation will never darken the door of a church again, statistics say. This world wants our young people. They want your family. They want your children. As parents, as young people, let's follow hard after the Lord Jesus. Get on the boat tonight. Just the next few moments in a quiet time, speak to the Lord and commit yourself afresh and anew as she plays. Amen. Brother Andy, would you come up and close us in, or lead us in our closing prayer? I got to tell a story on Daniel Stentz over here. You get to see a different side of people at the Pensacola. It's really something else. Quiet, reserved, comes into my room with a suitcase. What is that? He opens it up. 10 different types of hot sauce. We started at number 1. That was a mistake. Got to number 10, though, and that was really a big mistake. But encourage our young people. Put an arm around them. Don't throw cold water on the fire, but encourage the fire. And we're praying for you guys. We love you, teenagers, very, very, very much. Brother Andy.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we had tonight. We're reminded, as Paul said to his young ward, his charge, to let no man despise thy youth. The most wizened, the most successful of all men who ever walked upon the face of the earth had one last thing to say to the youth. It was the words of Solomon, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Help our young people, Lord. There is never a more concerted effort to defame, to discourage, to defile and to destroy their minds and their hearts and their walk with you. Help them, Lord, to remember you. Help them, Lord, to keep these things in their heart and to every day charge to be faithful, to let no man despise their youth, but be an example of the believers. And let that be true of all of us, Lord, to be faithful to you as you have been so faithful to us. And help us, Lord, be faithful to them as well as a church. We thank you for this time, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good question. Glad you're saved. God bless you. You're dismissed.